pills and condoms, rings and patches. According to a new report from the National Center for Health Statistics, nearly every sexually active adult woman in America has used birth control at some point. However, the same study indicates that the number of women having unprotected sex has crept up too, from 5.5% 10 years ago to 7.5% in 2002. If you're not as careful with your contraceptive as you used to be, why not? What would make you feel more safe? Give us a call. Our number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Email us, TOTN@NPR.org. And joining us to discuss these findings and how the range of contraceptive options is changing is Dr. Paul Blumenthal, Director of Contraceptive Research and Programs at Johns Hopkins University. He's with us from his office in Baltimore. Nice to have you on Talk of the Nation.
Nice to be here.
2% doesn't seem like an awful huge increase. Is it really significant?
Well, it's one of those instances where the percent that you talk about can belie the actual numbers involved, and I think the report said that there are almost 1.5 million women involved in that small 2% increase, and that can impact lives.
Logic suggests it would translate to a higher rate of unexpected pregnancies.
Well, if people are sexually active and they're not able to access, and I think that's where a lot of the issues are, access a method of contraception, then yes, it will translate into unintended pregnancies.
It's worth pointing out that this rate of unprotected sex is among adult women, not teenagers. Most of the data is that teens are actually behaving more safely.
Well, I think the data from this study were derived from three separate studies of family growth, one from 1982, one from 1995, and then one from 2002. And so they reflect changes over time when, especially in the middle to late 90s, we had pretty progressive programs with respect to at least informing adolescents about the available contraceptive methods, if not helping those that need it gain access. Now, adult women are women who are often out of school, in the workplace, in the home, and maybe or maybe not covered by an insurance plan that may or may not cover a contraceptive method.
The study doesn't go into the reasons for the increase. From what you're saying, do you suspect that insurance might be part of it?
I think that insurance may well be part of it when you consider that the number of people, and we'll both agree this is probably speculation, but it's not unlikely that if you consider that the number of people who are uninsured have increased over time, then that 1.5 million people that we were just been speaking about fall into that gap where they can't afford or access contraception because they can't afford it.
Mm-hmm. Could there be other reasons, though?
Well, of course, you may have a group of you may suddenly have a desire in the population to have a family, and certainly women over 21 are in the age ranges when we would think that women would decide perhaps not to contracept because of a desire to start a family or have another child if they already have one. But I think when you see a change in a proportion like that, it probably tells you without a proportionate change in the population, in the demographics, that I think it's telling you that there's probably an access issue.
If you're a woman and if you're thinking about contraception, if your behavior has changed, give us a call, 800-989-8255. And let's talk now with Sharon. And Sharon's calling from Vermilion, South Dakota.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Just wanted to just give you a real quick background on where I come from. I have 7 children, and they range from 25 down to 4. I have used birth control at times, but thank goodness I got wise to realizing that it's not a benefit. I mean, my concern is the way this question is couched. It's like in order to have personal freedom, one needs to contracept. And I personally feel like it's an awesome blessing that we are allowed to reproduce and able to reproduce. And I have these wonderful children. One's a National Merit Scholar, one's in Skidmore, one's in St. John's, one's in St. John's over in Santa Fe at this awesome liberal arts school.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that you can't provide for them. You just make cuts in other places. And if you look at the way that UN looks at natural family planning, that really disturbs me, because what we're looking at is we want to have the natural resources that these countries have. And so we don't want those populations getting big so that there might be political unrest or social unrest. So what we end up doing is we give them contraceptive free, but we will charge them for anti-malarial medicine. And I think that's just sinful and wrong that this country, this globe, can produce enough food for many more people than are ever going to see light of day. And what we end up doing is we squash the populations because we want the natural resources. That's what's going on.
Sharon, thanks very much for the call. We appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And let's talk now with Charlene. Charlene's calling from San Antonio.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm one of those women who decided to go ahead and scrap the birth control pill. My husband and I have been married for 7 years, so obviously, we're in a committed monogamous relationship. I don't feel that the need of having to go ahead and practice safe sex. I am using the rhythm method. I don't consider it safe sex because it's not, protecting me from STDs, but again, we're monogamous.
Right.
Whenever I feel I'm in that danger zone of where I'm fertile, that's whenever a condom comes into play. I decided to stop using birth control pills because I found that the hormones in the pills were eliminating the reason why I was taking them in the first place. And the sex
They reduced your sex drive?
It reduced it to zero. Practically zero. I just didn't want to have sex at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so once I discontinued the birth control pill, I found that my libido went up again, and my husband and I decided that it was best that I no longer use it.
Dr. Blumenthal, is it possible that more women are becoming uncomfortable with the pill?
Well, I think, first of all, both of the callers have reflected attitudes and perspectives that we embrace. I think that everybody needs to be able to make the choices they want to make. With respect to contraceptives themselves, one of the most important things and developments in the last several years is that we've been constantly improving contraceptives, especially the hormonal variety, so that they provide less hormone with the same safety and effectiveness profile, which we think, and data actually shows, reduces some of those untoward side effects. One of the important things for customers, if you will, is to know what those options are and make sure that they access a provider who also knows about them.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, in Charlene's case, the rhythm method, occasional condom use, that works for her, so that's a choice too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Charlene, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Bye-bye. We're talking about the increased rate of women who are not using contraceptives. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And manufacturers of birth control, various kinds of methods, they keep coming out with new products, too, suggesting that they're looking to attract women, primarily, to do kinds of products.
Well, I think in the last few years, we've seen introduction of several new methods onto the marketplace worldwide. And I think that it's worthwhile for the audience to understand, too, that contraception is a worldwide phenomenon. And the study showed that in the United States, we were clearly providing something that people wanted, with 98% of people having ever used contraceptives. So when we come out with new methods, we're doing one thing in the sense of improving safety and effectiveness, but the other thing that we're trying to do is improve convenience. We're trying to make these methods so that it's easier for people to use them. And if they're easier to use, they'll also be more reliable. And that also is part of the contraceptive equation. It's relatively easy for us to make methods that are safe and effective these days. We know how to do that. The important thing is to make methods that are also convenient for people. And we have a wide variety of types of users out there who might want a ring or might want a patch or might want an implant or an IUD. So the fact that the survey that we've been discussing reflects a heavy predominance of pill use means that we also have our work cut out for us in letting the public know that there's a variety of methods out there.
You mentioned the IUD. That was a once pretty common method that has faded quite a bit, along with diaphragms.
Well, I think you mentioned just now, you mentioned two methods that I actually think have a very bright future. With respect to the IUD, we went through a period in the past where because of a real defect in a particular IUD...
The Delcon Shield.
Delcon Shield, which enhanced the likelihood of someone to get a pelvic infection. they virtually disappeared from the market in the United States. As a result, not only were they unavailable to consumers, but providers, doctors, nurses were also uneducated about them. In the last 10 years, and more especially in the last 5 years, we have two IUDs now on the market that are eminently safe and effective, are long-term methods. One lasts for 10 years, another lasts for 5 years, and we've seen really no increase in pelvic infections as a result of IUD use, and I think that it's a very underutilized method. The diaphragm is also interesting, and I think, and maybe you heard it first here, that the diaphragm's going to make a comeback.
Why do you think?
Well, one of the things that this study showed, actually, was that there was more dual use. And what I mean by dual use is they were used, the women or the people surveyed were using both a hormonal method, say a birth control pill, but they were also using a condom, partly to protect themselves from sexually transmitted diseases. Now, the diaphragm is interesting because it's a female-controlled method, and worldwide it's sometimes difficult for a woman to negotiate condom use by the man.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a female-controlled method that protects the cervix. And by protecting the cervix, it really is protecting what we think is a key portal entryway for disease entities like gonorrhea or chlamydia or, importantly, HIV.
Well, Dr. Blumenthal, that's fascinating. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time today.
Pleasure.
Paul Blumenthal, Director of Contraceptive Research and Programs at Johns Hopkins University, and was on the line with us from his office in Baltimore, Maryland. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.